Here's Higdon. It sits up nicely for Michael Higdon. And what a start for Motherwell. But here's Malt, and he goes for it first time. Magnificent Malt. Stephen Robinson celebrates. Motherwell, two up. And could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr. And Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid. He scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to the MSC podcast. Today I'm joined by yet another special guest, someone that we've not had on for a very long time, Keith Lasley. Yeah. Welcome along.
Thanks, Andy. Pleasure to be here.
We've got a lot to look back on, and we'll start off by looking back on the successive victories prior to the international break. Sitting pretty, third place, 4 points clear in third place as well. We'll talk about the St Mirren game first. A few days have passed since Saturday's game. At the game, despite the fact we were comfortable, I just had a nagging doubt in the back of my mind. I've seen us drop points from these scenarios. St Mirren weren't really threatening, but we couldn't find that second goal. Chris Long comes off the bench, gets that second goal, and it's a great victory and a great 3 points.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's probably 2 words to sum that up, and it's Ross County. You know, we knew that we had that warning, if you like, you know, a couple of weeks previous, and yeah, I think it was a little bit anxious for 20 minutes in that second half, and you know, we spoke about that after the game. You know, first and foremost, we were actually really happy with the first half. We were probably, I think, some of our football was as good as we've played this season at times, our movement and you know, the chances we created. So we were really pleased with that. I mean, always the danger with that is, you know, maybe give yourself a wee pat in the back and you know, for the first 20 minutes of the second half, if you don't quite start well. And the other team are always going to be the opposite. They're always looking for a reaction to their first half performance, so the danger of that's always there. But still, you know, it's up to us to manage that period better. And we knew that, and we spoke about that after the game. We spoke about it, you know, we've got to learn that even from the Ross County game as well, as I mentioned. But not overall, you know, good. We knew you're getting into the break, and you know, it's always nice to go on a victory and back up what was a really hard fought win the week before. You know, probably a different type of performance. You know, I think we, as I said, our movement and our play, the performance was better, and you know, luckily enough, we managed to get the result to go along with it.
We'll go on to talk about summer transfer activity later on, but Chris Long comes off the bench, makes an instant impact, gets his second goal. It's an indication of the strength and depth within the squad, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's what we need. You know, we know to be where we are in the league. You know, we're not going to sustain that just with 11 guys that are doing okay. We need guys behind that are pushing the boys in, that have, you know, have got the jerseys, if you like. And Long is one of those. You know, Devante's come into the team in the last couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, or whatever it may be, and taking Longy's place. Now it's up to Longy to push Devante as hard as he can, A, to try and get himself back to the team, but B, as importantly, is to push Devante himself as well. And that's what we need in the squad all over. And I think, you know, in terms of the recruitment over the summer, that's what you look for. You look to try and get a squad of players that are all going to push each other in, you know, each position in the park, each department at the park. And I think on the whole we've had that. So I think Long even coming on and getting his goal and coming on and kind of sealing the win for us really is an indication of that centre forward position being hopefully you know, one of those positions where there is real pressure to keep the jerseys, because as I said, if we are going to sustain our position in the league, or certainly kind of trying you know, that top six is obviously something that we always speak about as a real target, that it's going to take that.
And another area that's really thriving is the academy. Barry Maguire, an excellent 90 minutes. It looked maybe towards our mark that he may go off, but he sailed through the last half hour as well. So a testimony to his fitness levels and a very impressive display.
Yeah, and I think that is that's a massive point, because when players are out of the team, and Barry first and foremost has been pretty unfortunate not to have played more football, and The one big factor in that has been Liam Donnelly, to be honest. You know, his actually two lads that we earmarked over the summer for a position change, really. You know, we obviously lost Carl McHugh, and who had really been that defensive type midfield player that had played most of the football. But, you know, Liam and Barry, both players that have probably been more, you know, centre-halves and playing along the back four, the two of them, certainly the manager and ourselves, identified that these guys could fulfill that position, which we knew in our formation that we were playing at the moment, with that kind of 4-3-3, that's a big, big position in the team. It's a real kind of pivot position in terms of changing the point of attack. It's kind of organising position. It's just a really important role within our system. And, you know, we thought these two boys had the quality to do it, and you know, it's taken a bit of time and a lot of, you know, hours in the training pitch, but the two boys have really bought into it. And I think what you see with obviously Liam's performances and how he started the season, but now Barry coming in, as I said, Barry, he's had to bide his time. And the one thing about biding your time as a player is sometimes you can just kind of bob along, and then you get a chance and you don't take it because you're not ready, you're not physically ready, you're not, because you kind of let yourself go because you've not been playing. You maybe feel sorry for yourself, or you know disappointed that you're not playing. Barry's been the opposite. He's worked probably as hard as anybody in the club in terms of his attitude, and I think that's why he performed the way he did, because he was ready to take his chance. And we speak about the guys out of the team, you know, consistently about that. It's not about just bumping along and, or you get your chances of being ready to take your chance and getting in and staying in. You know, that's the big message for the guys that are, you know, find themselves out of the team. So Barry took his chance really well, I think. You know, I agree. I think particularly the first half, first 60 minutes, you know, he was excellent. You know, he maybe just did a little bit in terms of, you know, maybe a wee bit of fatigue there towards the end of the match. But, you know, overall, we were delighted how he slotted in.
And how much of a driving force are the likes of Alan Campbell, James Scott, David Turnbull that have all broken through to the first team and shown the right attitude, the right desire, and have been rewarded with game time as well? Do you feel that they are driving along the likes of Adam Livingston, Jamie Semple and Barry Maguire?
100%. You know, I think it's, everybody keep going back to it, but everybody talks about Alan Campbell and his drive and his overall attitude, really. It's infectious, you know, particularly for the younger ones that have come through that have got that feeling for the club. And it does sound a bit cliche in terms of coming through the academy gives you more feeling for the club, but it's true with these boys. They really do have a real connection with the club. You know, they love representing it. They love the fact that they've come right through, and we love that they've come through the ranks and now they're out there in that first team environment. And that is an inspiration to the boys that you said, or it should be. And we ask these boys to attach themselves to the likes of Alan and Barry in terms of the way they go about things, because they live their life, the work that they do here, both in a training sense and in their own time in terms of gym work and thing, is, you know, in terms of Alan, I've not experienced even a player I've played with, or I've not seen a better attitude than that young man's got. And so to have that as almost like a benchmark for our younger players coming through is so invaluable to us. And it's such a, you know, a real shining light for the whole academy as a whole, that this is the standard. That's the standard. That's the mentality for a young Motherwell player. And it's fantastic to, as you say, to have two or three examples of that all, you know, made their way through to the first team.
And James Scott's another one that's come on leaps and bounds, even from the start of the season when there were suggestions that it may be better for James to take a spell at the likes of an Aloha, just for talking sake, given that that's obviously where Jake went last year. But he's made the position his own. He's coming in from wide. He's got a fantastic goal against St Mirren. He's looking like he's playing with a hell of a lot of confidence now as well.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And I think there's more to come from James. There's a lot more to come, we think. And you're right in what you say there. That's a judgment call, you know, for the manager, for the staff to think, does he need that extra, you know, experience? And which is so important at that age level. You know, it's the biggest, jump, I think, in Scottish football as a whole, is that kind of, you know, once you've finished your development technically, if you like, all the way through the academy, it's just that playing football under pressure. And some boys do need to go away and play, as we've done with Barry Maguire and Jake Casey, and, you know, the list goes on. But with James, we just feel he's ready, you know, or felt he's ready to go, probably like David Turnbull as well, you know, without that loan period to go into the first team. And as I said, there's still a lot of aspects of James' game that we feel can improve, and we will definitely keep trying to do that on a daily basis and improve him. But what he has shown is, I think, glimpses of what he is going to be capable of even going forward. Two good feet, good physical specimen, technically very, very good, quick enough, strong, you know. So he, if you were to write a kind of tick list almost of a footballer in that forward area, James ticks a lot of boxes. What he hasn't got is just that experience, and that comes with playing, it comes with matches, it comes with training every day with good players, against experienced defenders like Declan Gallagher, Peter Hartley, Richard Tate on a daily basis. And that training time and coaching time is as valuable as the games themselves. So, as I said, the longer that happens, we get through this season, hopefully in the coming months and years, you'll see a really good young player.
And all these ingredients and elements that you've mentioned, is that why the manager alludes to the fact that the forward players pretty much drive them up the wall with the frustration, because they've got all those elements to their game that can make them really top players?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, that kind of tactical understanding and things like that, again, that'll come with more matches. We coach a lot at this club. We analyse a lot. We work hard at that side of the game. And, it's trying to give that, pass that information on, that it's almost drip feeding it and reiterating it all the time, repetition, repetition, repetition. And that's just a gradual process. And as a manager says, yeah, there's times when you're kind of positionally, you're maybe at the side thinking, why is he there and why is he not there? Or, all these different scenarios depending on where the ball is. But listen, that's a young player full stop. They're going to be a little bit up and down anyway. Add to that fact then, the level of information that we are working at, then you are going to get little moments where things can be, as I said, a little bit up and down. But as long as overall we see a progression, which we absolutely do, then we're happy and we'll just try and push it as much as we can.
And we finished the weekend 4 points clear in third place, as I already mentioned. We're not getting carried away, it's early on, it's very much a work in progress, but this gives you a fantastic base to build upon.
Yeah, of course it does. That's what it is. I think it is a good platform. I think it's a good start, but as you said, that's what it is, a start. Even in the next couple of games, we know we've got a tough run coming up. But we go in full of confidence. Aberdeen at home, Rangers away, two difficult on paper, two difficult fixtures, but we're getting into these games, and we'll take, them in isolation. The Aberdeen game, coming off the back of a really good performance, hopefully we can, Liam Donnelly still suspended, but have a full squad to choose from out with that, and I think we've proven to ourselves that we can really match anybody so far, particularly here at home, and we'll be getting into that Aberdeen game full of confidence. But the caveat of that is, we know we're going to need to be at our best, because it's about our own progression in performance terms. It doesn't really matter who the opponent is. We speak a lot about our own performance, our own development, and we just spoke about with James developing individually. We want that to happen across the board for us, and that's when we'll be happiest, in terms of, as long as we can see progression in our performances, then, we'll be okay. We'll do okay, because we've given ourselves a good start. If we can still continue in an upward curve in terms of our performance, then, we should theoretically go on to have a good season, and, that's what we're all aiming for.
And the Simon victory built upon the victory at McDermott Park. It wasn't a classic, but no. I think we can safely say that. But 3 points at a very difficult ground. Yeah, I think Stephen Robinson said that it was only the second time he'd won there as a manager, and he's been there multiple times. So it's a very difficult place to go, despite the fact St Johnston haven't got off to the best of starts. We rode our luck at times, the penalty save. Mark Gillespie produced a few cracking saves over the course. But you'd been very satisfied to leave Perth with all 3 points.
Yeah, a bit, very much so. Wasn't a great game, full stop, to be honest. And you say, talking about the manager, saying about not one very much. Even as a player, it was never a happy place. I never felt as if we ever went up there and won on a regular basis, going back through the years. So I think any time you go there and take away the 3 points, you're just happy to get out of there with those three points. And yeah, that's exactly how we felt in that game. You know, certainly not delighted with a lot of the performance, but you've got an opponent against you. It's not going to be, been in this division long enough that every game's not going to be pretty. Unfortunately, it's going to be, you're going to have to dig in at times. And once we got in front, I thought we did that. Mark obviously pulls off a fantastic save again from, I think his penalty record's fantastic. To get out of there with a clean sheet, I thought we defended our box well. Yeah, we had a couple of moments, couple of chances. But as I said, that's a St Johnstone team that are still, although their league position doesn't suggest it, they're still an experienced SPL team, and I'm sure they'll start picking up soon. So to get out there with the 3 points was great, and it just kind of got our momentum back after what was a disappointment result against Ross County.
And Mark Gillespie now back-to-back clean sheets, and it's a testimony to him how well he's performing that Trevor Carson hasn't really been mentioned in the conversation, an international goalkeeper himself. But Mark Gillespie has been absolutely superb so far this season.
Yeah, definitely, and I said we go right back to what we said about the Chris Long and Devante pushing each other for that position, and it's no coincidence that Mark is playing as well as he is, because he knows he's got an international goalkeeper that he trains with every day, that's pushing him every day. So that's not a coincidence. Mark knows that he has to be at the very top of the game, which he is, and he's shown that on a consistent basis. But he knows he has to be. It pushes, I'm sure it drives him on every day at training. And as I said, if we want to maintain and build on the start that we've had, we need that mentality. We need that mentality all of, it's not about giving ourselves a pat on the back, oh, we've had a good start. If we want to keep going, and which is a challenge, we know the challenges we're up against to try and maintain that. But if we've got any chance, that's the mentality we need to have every day at training. We need to train as if, and there is, people breathing down your neck to get that jersey off you, and so that everybody, you've got an environment where every day is just pushing every day and in an upward curve, and in the goalkeeping position, that's certainly the case at the moment.
It's a real luxury that, isn't it, that two goalkeepers of that calibre you've got to choose from. Is it also a task as part of the management team to kind of, there must be frustration in Trevor Carson's part. He was performing superbly, he picked up the most unfortunate of injuries, and now he's lost his place, he's on the sidelines chapping at the bit to get back in. Is that a difficult task to manage, Trevor, and just keep his, almost kind of keep him upbeat and ready should he have to come in?
Yeah, that's part of management. It's part of maintaining a competitive squad, but players do get frustrated. We speak about it with Barry Maguire. What we've got to assure them is that be ready, just maintain that, because particularly in the goalkeeping position, it's only one position, touch wood, but an injury or a suspension or whatever it may be, then Trevor gets back in, and then like we spoke about Barry, it's not about just you're coming in for a game, it's go in and do well, but and to do that you need to be ready, mentally and ready physically, and that's as a management team that we can try and reiterate that message that we've all been there, been out of the team, be disappointed. We'd be upset if they weren't disappointed, because that would then show a lack of care, if you like, or a lack of drive to get in the team. So absolutely understand that side of it. But I keep going back to it, to have a successful season anywhere, you go to any club and you want to be part of something successful, that's going to be the environment that you get into, an environment of where everybody's pushing each other. There is going to be disappointment because only 11 can play, but that's got to be the environment. That's got to be a kind of demanding environment of pushing the man that's got the jersey, and the eventuality that person's brought out the team for a multitude of reasons, and you get your chance, it's being ready, and then being ready to go in, and not just go in and, as I say, be there for a game or two, it's going in and staying in. And that's the message that we constantly try and give the group as a whole, because your success won't just be born out of the guys that go out there, as they go out, the guys behind them that are pushing them on, and I can't emphasise that enough. So yeah, you've got to manage it, and you understand the players' frustrations absolutely, because I've been there, we've all been there at times, but it's just trying to reiterate the importance of being ready when that chance comes, to try and motivate them to keep training the way they are.
And Devante Cole, he managed to get his first goal for the club. It was a bit of a shame that they highlighted the miss that came 10 minutes before, but he was in the right place, didn't let his head drop it and put it away from a yard. I think you would have possibly scored it as well. But
maybe.
You tended to score for 30 yards rather than the tap-ins. But that kind of monkey off his back, it was one of these ones that reminded me almost of like Chris Porter, where we thought that maybe he just needs one off his arse and then that'll open the floodgates.
Yeah,
it's a massive thing to get the first goal.
No, absolutely. And I think the most impressive thing about it was it happened so quickly afterwards as well, you know, so he never let his head go down. And if you watch the goal closely, it's just through his anticipation to I think it's Ralston that's marking him. As the ball goes over his head and it gets headed back across, it's his anticipation and bright thinking, if you like, that gets him into the position to finally score. So, you know, a player that's maybe feeling sorry for himself and you know, lets himself get rocked by that miss, maybe doesn't do that. But the fact he's kind of, you know, not let it faze him, like I think all good goal scorers will tell you that they're willing to miss chances and come back and get themselves ready for the next chance that comes along. And I think that was the most impressive thing about that. And delighted for Devante, we got again, you know, had to kind of bide his time for his chance. I think he's worked in the fitness side of his game as well. I think he's fitter, looking fitter and stronger every week in training. And I think in the last, you know, in his appearances, he's got better and he has a real handful when he's on his game. So I think again, like, I think there's more to come from Devante. I think the more games he gets, and I know again, a lad that's like most of the guys that we bring up, as for one reason or another, have maybe not been playing or they've hit a little kind of crossroads in their career. You know, Devante's another one of those, and you know, hopefully with more football and more training time, that it can really push on.
What it sounds like is there's almost a pattern emerging, though, of the guys that have come in, that they've come in with the right attitude, a desire to play, and a desire to improve as well, though.
Yeah, I think so, and that's what we want here. And again, it goes testament to the manager and Martin Foyle in terms of recruitment. And you can only do so much, but you try and find out as much about their character as you can in terms of, are they improvable? Are they open to taking on information? Are they open to maybe playing in a slightly different way than they have done from their youth, you know, at different teams or whatever? Maybe they've played in a front two instead of what we're maybe going to ask them to do. Are they willing to do that extra work? Are they, you know, so it's trying to gather as much information alongside obviously the technical data of what have they done, how many goals have they scored, who have they played for, what, you know, how have they played. It's trying to gather that other side of the, you know, the recruitment process of, are they, as you say, improvable? Because this is a club that, you know, we spoke about it before in terms of the actual business model itself, as we want to bring in players that we can improve and we can, A, you know, option A, get results out of and play good football. But ultimately then, off the back of that, then hopefully becomes a financial thing of, can we improve these guys, Louis Moult, you know, all that list in terms of bringing finance back into the club at some point, at the right point for the club, obviously. But, you know, they've got to be improvable for that to take place as well.
And just to finish off in the St Johnstone game, Liam Donnelly was sent off. Quite unfortunate circumstances, really, particularly when a two-match ban follows it. Though I'm kind of trying to cleverly link this in with the fact that he signed a new contract, then he has been a surprise package this season, because I think he was a player that, from a supporter's point of view, we thought was lacking direction, didn't really know where his career at Fir Park was going to go. But he's come away from the summer break and really has made a flying start and a bit of goal machine as well.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we didn't expect that part, I've got to say, in terms of the goals. You know, as I said at the start, it was him along with Barry. We'd kind of earmarked for a positional change. You know, I think with Liam, I think you're absolutely right, to be honest. He was a player that came in and I think filled in at left back for a couple of games, played at centre half for a couple of games, and, you know, kind of in and out the team, and it hadn't really kind of settled in terms of where he's going to play. And I think it didn't settle in the fact of, you know, I think the manager's spoken about it, even he started to pick up a lot of niggling injuries, and, you know, I don't think Liam will mind the same, but we felt as if he could be in better condition and that would actually help him avoid injuries as well. So that was a big thing in the summer. I know the manager, you know, gave him certain targets in terms of coming back fitness-wise, and he'd done that. You know, as soon as he turned back up at pre-season, obviously, as I said, that little positional change in terms of a different way of seeing the game and coaching, and spent a lot of time with him individually in terms of the position. And I think that helped him maybe kind of focus him almost in his own career. And he's really kicked on, and I think it's testament to Liam, because I think he was kind of drifting a wee bit, you know, and I've seen that happen so many times with certain players, and you end up kind of, all of a sudden you kind of drift out the door almost and get forgotten about. But it's up to the player to buy into. It's all us suggesting things and looking at, as I said, different things. But it's, Liam's got to, you know, do the work himself, and to be fair, he's done that. And it's no surprise to us, as I said, the goal scoring is a bit of a surprise, although we know he's got a fantastic strike and, you know, he's a very good penalty taker, as we've seen. The other parts of the game we did know were there. His range of pass, he's aggressive in the air, he's strong, he's fit, he's, you know, all the things we knew were there. I mean, he felt well mouldable into that position. He's taken that on, and then I think even kind of exceeded expectation almost at this stage. You know, we knew it would be a kind of learning curve and a process, but he certainly, you know, grabbed that chance with both hands. And, you know, it seems, again, saying the same thing, but we think there is more to come from Liam, you know, because, you know, he's young in that position, and we think the more football he gets, he'll kick on even more.
And we're obviously at the international break, but you guys are in today. There's seven players on international duty as well. And I think the whole club got a lift from the news that Declan Gallagher was called up to the Scotland squad. On Sunday evening, it's a massive feat for the club, isn't it? Like, so many times we've kind of felt a wee bit frustrated that our players have been overlooked. It's good to see that Steve Clark is watching Motherwell. He's obviously been watching Declan, who has made a brilliant start to the season. It's just a reward for a great first 3 months at Fir Park.
You know, absolutely. I think in terms of, you know, speaking about our recruitment, I think Declan's been probably as important as any sign that we've made, you know, in terms of his influence, not just on the park, but I think it's plain to see, even off the park, you know, in the dressing room, a real leader alongside the likes of Peter Hartley and Richard Tate, a real leader of men, and which are rare these days, are getting rarer certainly in the kind of modern age of football. So to have somebody in that dressing room really driving it on a daily basis, and obviously then on a Saturday, I think it's been a really good addition. And I've got to admit, I really agree with what you said about the frustration of players at Motherwell not getting the recognition, because it sounds, again, a really cliched thing to say, but I honestly think over the years there's been certain players at this club that if they played for Aberdeen or Hearts or whoever it may be, or a team down south, would have played for Scotland earlier. You know, it's just, for me, it's a fact. I don't know why that's the case, because at the end of the day, you're a football player and you're playing in the same league and against the same players, so why should you not be, you know, highlighted as much as MD? I don't know. But for us, we're just delighted he has been recognised, and for me, he's been as good as any centre-half in the league, to be honest, so far. And again, I'll say it again, we think there's a bit more to come. You know, although he's a more experienced player than the players that we've spoken about in terms of age and, you know, in terms of age of their development, if you like, but you know, we think there's more to come from Declan, and you know, which is an exciting thing because he's made such an impact. So, you know, delighted, and you know, hopefully we can just keep going, and you know, some of the other guys, although as you said, having seven away is fantastic. It's not fantastic when you're trying to organise training sessions in the weeks that they're off away, but
let's hope they don't get injured either.
No, exactly. But listen, it's good for the club, fantastic for the club, and you know, we feel as if there's maybe three or four more that you know, if they keep progressing the way they are, that maybe this time next year there might be a couple more in the fold.
And I suppose with Declan and the injury crisis almost facing Steve Clark, this could be the perfect storm. There's a really good chance that he might play tonight against Russia. Mm-hmm. You would hope that as many players as possible get game time against San Marino. He impresses, then there's no reason why he can't become a mainstay in that team. He's getting his opportunity. You now just hope that Steve Clark and his management team take these two games on board, and should Declan impress, then he should remain in the squad.
Yeah, why not? You know, why not? It's not a position that we're blessed with
a lot of
options nationally, you know, I don't think so. And I think the other thing with Declan is, I think, you know, maybe players can sometimes be a bit overawed by getting into that environment, into the training, and maybe for the first time, but Declan won't be. You know, I know for a fact he'll relish that challenge of getting in and obviously training and against, you know, good, real good quality. But that won't faze him. It won't faze him whatsoever. And I don't think, you know, if he ultimately did make his debut, I don't think it would faze him. He's just that type of character. So I think that's a big factor in Declan. And hopefully he does go in and impress in training, because sometimes it may come down to that. You know, if Steve is maybe unsure between one or two options, maybe it's the guy that goes in and trains, you know, the best or shows up best during that week that might just get the nod. So if that's the case, I think Declan will give himself a good chance, because I think he's I think his mentality is well suited to moving up a level, if you like, in terms of pressure. I think he'll be able to handle that no problem.
And are you worried that he takes over your mantle as the singer at the football club?
Well, I don't actually be quite happy for somebody to take that mantle on, to be honest with you. If it says me ever singing Twist and Shout again, you know, I'll be quite happy for somebody to take that mantle. But I did see that, which was interesting. That was without any beer or anything. That was just straight off the bat, so that was very impressive.
Well, we'll take a look back at the summer and more rebuilding at the club. It seems to be a yearly process now that you've got to encounter major overhaul at the club. The pressure must continue to grow as well to get it right every summer.
Yes, I mean, it's, you know, the manager, as I said, the manager and Martin Foyle have got to take a lot of credit, you know, in terms of, because we know the area of the market we're shopping in. We're obviously competing with, you know, a number of other Scottish clubs who are probably in the pool for the exact same players, where, you know, and just to get them up to Scotland in the first place, for, you know, the lads from England, you know, the level of finance down there is such that even, you know, teams in the Conference North, the Conference South, are actually paying, you know, equivalent, if not more, than we can pay. So, you know, then that process of getting them even up here in the first place becomes even harder. So it's about, you know, identification of what we need first and foremost. Then it's trying to figure out, you know, can you actually get them up here? So that's a lot of hours, a lot of, and not just in the summer, you know, that process starts, you know, even, it's a continual process, even, to be honest, all the way through the year. But as I said, the manager and Martin Foyle in particular, who is you know, down south a lot and you know, kind of head of our recruitment, is a 24/7 job, to be honest. And as I said, that is a continual throughout the season. And obviously in the summer, you know, even it cranks up in terms of actually getting the deals done and things like that. But you know, the fact of how many players we regularly have to bring in, it's not an easy task. I think you're never going to get everything right. It's just impossible. It's just impossible to get everything right. It's just trying to get more right than you get wrong. And I think over the last, you know, couple of summers, I think we've done that, to be honest. And you know, I think if you're doing that at a club of Mullow size, I think you're doing well, because it is just getting tougher and tougher. It's a tougher marketplace than it's ever been.
Yeah, it sounds like it's fair to say that when you're shopping in the markets that we are, every signing has an element of risk attached to it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. As I said before about Devante or Chris Long, or, you know, using them two as an example, guys that have been at big clubs, of maybe bumped about a couple of loan moves, not quite worked out, maybe not played a lot of football in the last 6 months, 12 months, but I've got talent, are coachable, are improvable. So it's trying to weigh up that, you know, lack of football against, can we get them, can we give them that platform, can we, you know, improve them, coach them, you know, and it's trying to get the boys that we feel are capable of that and want coached and want to get better and want that platform of playing in Sky and playing in BT, maybe take a bit less money than they would get at a League 2 or a League 1, but we can give them the exposure, we can give them a good environment, a great football club, a steady football club, and one that, you know, is playing, you know, in a good league with good exposure, good national exposure, good, you know, television cameras, as I've said. So that's the type of sell that we're giving them, and hopefully, as I said, we've got more right than we've got wrong. But as you said, it's, most of these players are coming with a kind of small caveat of there's something missing there, and it's up to us to try and, you know, find that missing link, if you like, and really push them back in the right direction.
Yeah, I just want to pick up on a few of the new signings. I think Jeremy Seedorf has grabbed a lot of the headline. A very exciting player, very direct player, the kind of player that fans love to watch. And you can tell that he's raw, you can tell that they're... But it looks already that he's improving elements of his game, whether that be tracking back or maybe getting his head up at the right times. And he's clearly got an eye for goal as well. An exciting player, and I'll say it for you, more to come, but it does seem like that is the case with Sherwin.
Again, you know, a guy, Sherwin, who, you know, a real good prospect when he's younger, really highly thought of, but just kind of came to a dead end in terms of playing a lot under 23s football, but not able to make that, you know, step up at a, you know, obviously a massive football club in Wolves. But so again, you know, it's opportunity. So they see the talent, we see the kind of mouldable talent, if you like, the raw talent that you mentioned, and it's trying to bring that into A, playing games under pressure in a first team environment, along with then coaching the elements that you mentioned in terms of his defensive responsibilities, his tactical awareness, his fitness levels, being able to play for, you know, a first team game for 90 minutes, which sounds stupid, I'm sure, to a fan, but when you go from playing under 23 football in front of under no pressure, and when the games don't really matter, and that the difference between that and going and playing against Celtic here,
the adrenaline,
pressure, the build up to the game, the level, the distance that you've got to cover, you know, if you strip it back to the physical elements of it, being able to handle that both physically and mentally is totally different from that. So we've got to get them to that level, and then, as I said, the other aspects we spoke about tactically and also trying to get the best out of him in his own, and improving the things that he is good at as well, making them even better. So again, another good example of somebody that you hope you can just give them that platform, and hopefully they take that chance.
Another one that's really impressed is Liam Polworth, who has been a linchpin in the centre of the park, very cultured player, maybe had ran his course at Inverness. Heard that actually in the Terrace show last weekend, where they mentioned that Liam Polworth had maybe got to the end of his time at Inverness. It was time to move on, it was the right time to move on, but he's settled in well and playing a big part already.
You know, massive part. And I think the thing with Liam was, we watched him in 3 or 4 occasions, myself and the manager last year, always a player that we kind of had in the back of our mind to bring him in. You know, the big thing about Liam is we always knew his talent. We always knew, I mean, his assist record is ridiculous. You know, I think if you have a look at it, you know, I don't know what it is exactly, but I think, and you know, for Inverness and even over the last kind of 3-4 seasons, it's the best in the country by a distance. So we knew he had that side, but what we weren't so sure about is his work rate and how much coming into our team and how much we ask of our midfield players, would they be able to do that job? And I think that was a kind of bit of a conundrum that we had at the time, but we kind of went with it just because we a bit of a kind of gut feeling of, yeah, you know, we'll take him. And to be honest, he's actually probably, you know, we get our stats from the game, he's actually, Saturday's a perfect example, the work rate, and a lot of what people see about Liam is the way he handles the ball, his lovely touch, and it, you know, he can set, you know, his passes through, penetrating passes through for the wingers and things like that. But in general, his work rate is unbelievable. Unbelievable on a daily basis, his willingness to press the ball and to you know, just to run, and just really the way he does that for us is, it has been fantastic. And again, testament to the manager. I think that's the big challenge that he gave Liam over the summer. Spoke to him before the summer, and obviously after we'd signed him, and never really spoke too much about on the ball, because we know what Liam can do on the ball. Yes, of course we speak a little bit, but I think the manager challenged him of what he does off the ball, because we knew, as you say, he maybe looked as if he'd had went a bit stale, and you know, it was kind of floating through matches for Inverness because he knew he could, basically. And you know, I think the manager challenged us to come back and really push on, and because we honestly think that Liam's capable of progressing even more, you know, progressing, hopefully it's not for a while yet, but we really think he's capable of pushing on at a real high level, Liam Polworth. But if he really pushes himself, and he is doing, I've got to say, he's been fantastic since he came in, and as I said, one for us, they can really, you know, push on for the rest of this season and beyond.
And a guy that came in that had a great deal of pedigree and we've not seen much of it is Kasper Sloth. You look at it, a Danish internationalist, it's an exciting signing on paper. It's not really transcended onto the field of play as yet. Kind of in a similar vein to Alex Rodriguez-Gorin last year, who took a while to get going. Should we expect to see more from Kasper in the coming months?
Yeah, I think so. And I think Alex is probably a good example. I mean, I think it took Alex, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think it was 3-4 months down the line into the season anyway before he started really coming into the team. And I think Kasper, first he's had a couple of niggling injuries that seem to have, he's got so far, got kind of close to the team on the edges of the, you know, the bench and things, and then he's had a little injury, set him back, and it's been a kind of continual thing like that. So first and foremost, we need to get Kasper a run of where he's fit for 3-4 weeks. That's obviously coincided with our midfield at the moment, obviously without Liam and Barry. It's probably been the most settled area of our team, if you like, in terms of those guys playing matches together. So it's going to be a tough nut to crack for Kasper, to be honest. He's going to need to bide his time a little bit, probably. But what I can say for Kasper is there's a good player there. You know, he's a good footballer. His range of passing is excellent. He's just got to, like I said with Barry, keep pushing in training, keep pushing the guys that are there already who are doing very well at the moment. But football's football. You get, you know, we go Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday, I think, Saturday, you know, so 4 games in 2-3 weeks' time. You know, it only takes an injury here or a suspension there, and like Barry Maguire, boof, you've got your chance. And it's up to Kasper to be ready to take that chance. And to be fair, he's training hard, he's working hard at the moment, even this week, the international break. The guys that are out the team are doing, you know, doing little bits of extra work and things like that, and Kasper's pushing really hard to get himself into a shape that he can be ready to take his chance. But, you know, I'm sure it might not be next week, it might not be the next couple of weeks, but, you know, hopefully Kasper's still got a big part to play as the season progresses.
And as always, we lost players as well. I mentioned Alex Rodriguez-Gorin. A disappointing one was Chris Cadden, who served the club so well for a long number of years coming through the academy. Getting away from the controversy over the move itself, the bigger picture was just one of disappointment, I think, to lose a player that served the club as well as Chris did.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, so much time for Cads, obviously played with him, and you know, saw him coming through the ranks, saw him as that kind of young lad coming in, like Sir James Scott and that just now. He was the one coming through at that time, you know, alongside another couple. So to see him progress the way he did, even go out on loan and then come back and then really establish himself in the team was pleasing, as you know, as one of the more experienced players at the time, to see him make that kind of journey all the way into the first team and then become a mainstay, really. But listen, that's football, you know. It's Chris, I know he loves the football club. It's not for the lack of his kind of love for Motherwell that he's decided to move on. You know, he obviously feels as if he's got to a stage in his career that he just feels he needs a change, or he needed a change, sorry. So, you know, that's Chris's prerogative. As I said, I don't think it's anything against our club, and I know for a fact it wasn't. I think, you know, that, you know, the conversations that I had with him, and manager had with him round about the time, it was nothing to do with us. It was just really, I think, that kind of change of scenery and change of, to really, you know, what he felt was to kind of go and push on somewhere else. So, I mean, that's up to Chris. I wish him nothing but the best. A boy that gave everything, you know, even in a, you know, in training, and gave everything out in the park for this club. So, you know, the guys particularly that have came through the ranks, of, if they feel that's the right thing for them, then, you know, that's up to them, and on the go, we are best blessings, because, you know, every day he was here, in terms of even when I came onto the coaching side of it, you know, he was great with us, always very receptive, always willing to work hard, and, you know, as a coach, that's all you can ask for. So, you know, I just wish Chris all the best.
And just finally, I talked about someone that didn't get much game time that has arrived. Ross McCormack came in low, and again, it's a high profile one, isn't it? There was a lot of attention around the side. You've talked about the recruitment and how the majority of the signings have been the right move. This was one that just didn't work out for a number of factors.
Yeah.
I guess it was a bit disappointing, really.
Very disappointing, to be honest. Obviously, Ross, somebody that I knew personally and had played with, had fantastic times here. And, you know, at the time, we felt as if it would be, you know, not just the fact of Ross coming in, but we felt as if he would be a signing that, you know, the fans could get excited about, somebody that would hopefully, you know, bring the best out of the young players that was round about him, you know, given the career that he'd had up to that point. So, you know, it was a lot of factors that made us, you know, bring Ross in, or what made us want to bring him in, but it just never worked out. Again, injuries, you know, straight away, had a little niggling injury, went to Tenerife, and, you know, for our winter training camp, and looked as if he was getting back. And in fact, we came back to Tenerife and we thought he was there, thought he was ready to go. I think he played one game, I think, played the cup game, I think.
I think he came off, he started the cup game.
The cup game. Hibs, yeah, and then again, got another niggling injury, and it just seemed to be, again, a little kind of repetitive, you know, little niggling injury, and just could never quite get to the kind of level of fitness that we felt would have let him go and show his best, and he just never ever found that. And it's such a disappointment because, as I said at the time, we felt as if it could not only just be a signing, we felt as if it could be a real big signing, you know, not just for, as I said, him coming in, but for the club as a whole, and for, hopefully, could bring the best out and everybody around about him. But it, to be honest, it never worked out. And it's, as I said, you don't get everything right, and but, you know, you've just got to hold your hands up with that one, and just never quite worked out the way we'd all hoped, to be honest.
And the main talking point of the summer, of course, was the David Turnbull transfer, I'll use that in the loosest terms, but the saga that went on for a good couple of weeks. As a fan, I'm absolutely delighted that David will remain at the club. Really looking forward to having him back in a Motherwell jersey. A lot has been said about David's character and how he handled the whole affair. He's obviously had a wee bit of time in the sidelines because of the unexpected injury that was found in the medical as well. That will be a situation again that perhaps was uncharted territory for you in terms of managing the young guy through that. How do you feel David is now, kind of 3-4 months on?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's as good as you can be. I think really, you know, it's obviously the early stages of it. I think, you know, like any young player would be, that's, as you say, first and foremost went through that saga, if you like, which I think could have been handled a lot better, shall we say, in certain quarters. But listen, it was what it was. Unfortunately, obviously, the injury was flagged up, and you know, David, like any young player would be, is you know, he's devastated by the fact, you know, and the number one fact of that is that he can't play football, whatever that's going to be. He's unfortunately going to miss some time out. But now he's in the club every day. You know, he's where he should be. He's obviously had his meetings with the specialist down south. Is exactly where he should be in his rehab, and we just want to try and you know, help David get back to where he was, and not just back to where he was, I think, you know, hopefully back to there and then beyond again, because, you know, I think we all saw the special talent that he is, and there's absolutely no reason why, particularly at this young age, that he can't bounce back and really push on again, because he's got a lot of time to do that. You know, from our point of view, you know, we're delighted that he's back in every day. He's up the gym every day now, working with David Henderson, physio, you know, in the best of care. And you know, we just look forward to, yeah, eventually having him back, but we don't want to rush that process. He's too important just for David himself. We're going to make sure that it's right and he's right, and look after him in that sense. And you know, when he is ready to come back, then fantastic. I mean, what a player to know that's on the horizon, you know, to add to what, you know, we feel as if is a decent squad in the building. So I think that can only give even the boys a boost in the dressing room to know that they've got a player of that ability. Yeah, there's still a little bit of time to go before that happens, but you know, to know somebody of that quality in the building, you know, soon, you know, when once it gets sooner the time to him coming back, I'm sure that'll give everybody a boost to know that that's just round the corner, and you know, you've got a very good player coming back into that squad.
I'd like to give a shout out to the sponsors of the MFC podcast, beer52.com. Keith, you got your case today, and thank you very much for not getting tucked into them.
I was thinking about it, great.
Well, listeners to the MFC podcast can get a case of 8 beers for $4.95 delivered to their house the very next day. Even better than that, just now if you use the website www.beer52.com/MFC, you can get two extra beers, so that's 10 beers from across the world for less than a fiver. There's no contracts, you can cancel any time, so why not try out the world's largest craft beer discovery club and support the MFC podcast. Again this weekend, there's another chance to win a case of beer too. Simply guess the final score in Scotland's fixture against San Marino on Sunday. This is a bit of a rollover because we asked people to predict how many corners we would get at the weekend. Do you know that answer?
Against St Mirren?
Yep.
Oh, it wasn't many, you know. I'm going to say 5.
It was 3.
3, was it? I knew it wasn't many.
No correct answers. There was a few 17, 18, so miles.
No, I knew it was. I think they had more, actually. I remember thinking that St Mirren had more. I'm not sure how many more, but I think they had a few more.
Danger of going into Craig Brown.
Craig Brown, you know, I was actually, as the words were coming out of my mouth, I had a vision of Craig Brown.
So that's beer and the numbers 52.com/MFC. Get along and pick up a case of beer for $4.95. So we'll go back the way and then forwards again to finish off the podcast. Last season, very much a season of two halves. The style that worked so well the previous season wasn't really working. And by Christmas time, well, I heard the manager say in the Sports Sound podcast last week that he felt there was a need for change. It was almost a tipping point. A very difficult first half to last season.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think as you know, the question you asked, did something have to change? Yes, is a kind of blunt answer. We knew that. We knew, you know, we were going to have the chance to maybe bring in one or two and just try and change things as much as we could. Obviously, January's not the ideal time to do that. It's probably the summer, but I think the manager had decided that, yeah, we were going to make a pretty drastic change to the way... you know, we're going to go about it tactically and as I said, with hopefully bringing in, you know, a couple of guys to complement that change. So that was the case. We went off to Tenerife again and you know, we actually had a really good week in terms of our coaching, as we did the previous week and previous year, sorry. You know, a great facility over there, and you feel as if you can condense, you know, almost like 3 weeks training into one, just by the obviously the climate and the facilities that you've got there. So, you know, we trained, I think, 3 times a day for the 5-6 days that we were there, and we just managed to in a short period of time, you know, cram a lot of information into the players, because it's quite a big change, you know, predominantly maybe 3-5-2 that we had been playing, and you know, pretty much from that moment on stuck to the kind of 4-3-3 that you see more often than not now as well. So that was a kind of starting point for that. So it was a big change, but one that the players bought into. You know, I think the fact we all knew, probably the dressing room knew, that we all had to change. So I think the fact that was the case, that you know, the players bought into it straight away, and it was up to us to hopefully change things and give them the information that would then allow us to change our fortunes on the park. And luckily enough for us, you know, through a lot of hard work, and particularly from the players, and hard work in terms of not just physically, but, you know, obviously taking on a different style and taking on a lot of information a short period of time, I think we did implement it, you know, pretty quickly, and I think the results did follow. You know, I think we won 6 or 7 out of our first 8 or 9 games, I think, something like that. And you know, it really kind of, that set the platform for probably even looking forward into this season. I think that was probably the starting point of what you've probably seen in the last you know, since that January, 18 months or so. So it's been you know, a pretty big change, but it's gave us a great platform. You talk about platforms at the start of this season, that was probably the platform that we've worked on since, in terms of how we've coached the players and how, you know, as I say, what you're seeing out there on the Saturday.
And these points would possibly be easier made over Skype than they are to your face, but the style of football was pretty bad in the eye. It was,
just say it, Andy, just say it.
I'm not going to pull you up.
You've got a bleep machine.
but it was getting to the stage where you
do you start to worry about your future? Obviously, the previous season, you've got two cup finals, an absolute perfect first season, really, as far as you can go without actually lifting a trophy. But to then, 4 or 5 months into the next season, be on the end of a bit of criticism, there's speculation over the manager's job, there's just that bit of uncertainty. It must have just been completely polar opposites from that debut season as assistant manager.
Yeah, you know, it's football, I suppose, which is a kind of easy answer, I suppose, but it is, you know, I've been in the game long enough as a player, particularly here, to know that you can go from a pretty significant high to, you know, a low pretty quickly in football in general. And, you know, I've been through a lot of them at Motherwell as well, so it can happen. You know, I think the added element of on the coaching side of it now, I think you feel it a lot more, particularly the manager. I mean, that's the manager's obviously a different kind of level again, but certainly from all short experience so in the coaching side of things, you know, you do feel that, you feel that pressure, you feel, and it's probably pressure that you put on yourself as well, because you see what you've done before and you want that to continue, you're desperate for it to continue, you're desperate for the best for the club. But, you know, I think the key thing is to recognise when things aren't going right and do something about it. It's not about, you know, being... you maybe have your principles and stick to them. Don't, you know, we're going to keep going when you know, you know, the results aren't coming. So I think great credit's got to go to the manager as well, and the bravery to say, no, right, this isn't happening anymore. And it's quite a big call to make, you know, when you've been coaching a lot for 18 months, whatever it is, in a certain way, and to kind of not rip it up and start again, because there's certain principles that cross over within any shape or formation or whatever that may be that keep going. But, you know, certainly to make a lot of changes to the team tactically at that point was a big call. But, you know, manager and the staff felt as if it was one that had to be done. And luckily for us, or not luckily, because it's through a lot of hard work and a lot of time and effort, you know, we managed to do that and change that. You know, thinking back to the first season, I think, you know, from the outside world, the hoofball and whatever you want to call it. Listen, I've played in some teams that you played some bad football. That wasn't bad football that we were coaching. We were coaching football that was effective with the players that we had. And, you know, there were certainly games within that we played very, very well. And, you know, you speak to opposition managers and you speak to people about the game and they didn't enjoy playing against us, which is not a bad reputation to have.
I think it was good to watch. I mean,
it was exciting.
The up and at them style. And I think that maybe made some of the criticism. And don't get me wrong, I criticised it myself. I'm watching the game, I guess I'm entitled to my own opinion on it, but when it's breeding results, I guess you do look at it in a different way, don't you?
No, you do, of course you do, and you know, I think as soon as the results start to wane a little bit, then it's the first thing you look at, you know, it's right, it's that's the reason because we're playing this way, and that's, you know, that is the thing that it leaves you open to that criticism, which is fair enough, you know. So listen, is it the way the manager wanted to his perfect way of playing football? No, probably not. But what is the manager's job? The manager's job is to get the best out of the players that he's got, and as I said, we felt as if that was the best way to do it. And I think from our results as a whole, getting to two National Cup finals and finishing seventh, I think, memory's terrible, that's no bad, you know. So I think it's then, the first season, the next season didn't start so well, hold your hands up time, it wasn't that great, we've got to change something, you know. And as I said, that's a brave call to make, we've made it, and then it's, you know, it's trying to build on that. And as I said, that kind of trip last January has probably been as important a period as certainly I've had as a coach, you know, with a manager in our time at Motherwell. And, you know, I would say that kind of January period there is you know, as I said, the most important time that we've had in the time we've been here.
And the excitement of the youth again, Jake Hasty and David Turnbull were pivotal figures in the second half of last season. Jake obviously got his move. David could have got his move. That is within the model. There will be fingers pointed though as to why the likes of Jake and David weren't in the team earlier, given the impact they had in the latter half of the season.
I think the simple answer to that is we didn't think they were ready. You know, I think it's great in hindsight to say, oh, why were they not in the team earlier? And I think there's a number of players that we can probably say that for. But it's a manager's, it's part of his job to make that judgment of, as I said, when they're ready to step in, do they need a loan period? Do you know what is that Ben? Do they need to put in for a game or two and then brought back out? Or you know, so all these things have got to be judged. And in terms of you know, Jake, for instance, you know, who's to say if we did bring Jake in 2 or 3 months earlier that he wouldn't, you know, ultimately would have gone by the wayside because he wasn't quite ready. Or David the same, if David played 2 or 3 months earlier, would he have been David Turnbull? Now we'll never know, but you know, that's a manager's job. And I think, again, do you get everyone right with younger players? Probably not. Do you try and get most right? And I think, to be fair to the manager here, I think he's got most right, you know. And you know, I look at back at my career here, we've had loads of promising young players that have come in for 2 games and then never seen the light of day ever again, you know. And sometimes, not just not at this club, end up out of football. You know, it can be as drastic as that sometimes, because they come in, they're not ready, they get chewed up and spat out, and that's it, you know. Not just, and as I say, the scary thing is sometimes it's not, you know, spat out just at Motherwell, it's spat out of football. And you see that. I think I read a stat the other day that 70% of guys, if they get released at a club, they're out of football by the time they're 23. You know, not just out of either that club, they're
properly
out of football altogether. So that's the danger, you know. I know that's the extreme that I'm talking about, but I'm just saying it is a judgment call all the time. So, well, it may be a valid criticism, we'll never know. I just think it's in terms of the manager, I think he's got a lot more right than he's got wrong in terms of blooding young guys.
And Jake's move to Rangers, I think when either of the firm are involved, there's always that extra, I don't want to say pain, but yeah, it's real disappointment, because we've seen in the past Celtic and Rangers taking players from whether it be Motherwell, Dundee United, Hearts, Hibs, and letting them rot somewhat. Jake goes to Rangers and straight away he's shipped out on loan. And you think that he was a player for me that still had a lot of developing to do, a lot of learning to do. It just felt like it would have been better served to do it at Fir Park and then get his move, and we would have also received a bit of compensation for it as well, over and above the development fee.
Well, you know, you probably just took our argument that we gave to Jake out of my mouth. That is, yeah, we felt the same. We felt as if Jake did need a bit more development. We felt as if this was the best place to do that. You know, he's playing every week, he was improving, but you know, needed games to continue that improvement. And you know, as I said, we felt as if that was the best place, or we were the best. Yeah, this was the best place for that to happen. But at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, about Jake and, you know, his agent, his parents, you know, feel as if that's the best move for them at the moment. And, you know, time will tell if that's the case. Were we disappointed? Yeah, of course we were. We'd love Jake to stay. As I said, we felt as if we developed him in the right way in terms of what we felt was right, going out to Alloa and loan and then coming back. And you know, they'd be expecting him to have such an immediate impact. No, probably not. And I think that's ultimately what's ended up getting him his move, is actually how quickly he made that impact. So we weren't quite expecting that, to be honest. But listen, it is what it is. As I said, we gave our side to Jake, what we felt was the best for him, and genuinely, you know, care for him, because we genuinely care for the young players that are coming through. It's not a selfish thing of, yeah, we look after the club and we want what's best for Motherwell, but you know, we do care about these young guys and young guys' careers who have been right through, particularly the ones that have been right through our academy and have been our players really since they were 8, 9, 10 years old. You know, we care about what happens now. Even now, you know, we care about what happens to Jake. You know, I know it's hard for the fans to see him go off to Rangers, and then, you know, he's obviously out on loan at the moment. But, you know, for myself personally, I hope Jake goes on to have a fantastic career, because, you know, I've seen him since he was 15-year-old, particularly since he's came into the under-17s and beyond. So, you know, we want all these young guys to succeed. You know, we just want them to get the timing right, and that goes back to what you said. Yeah, we'd love to have stayed for another, at least another season, and then maybe moved on at the right time.
And we'll finish up with the season so far. The start in the Betfred Cup was excellent. Cruised through the group. The start of the season, disappointment against Hearts and the Betfred, and the Celtic defeat, despite the fact it was a good performance in the first half. It just kind of a bit of a capitulation. And there's maybe a wee kind of murmurings of discontent appearing. The Accies game was a big turning point. To go there, play the plastic pitch, you just always kind of, there's that element of dread when you go to Hamilton, just because of where it is, I think. But it's a big game. We lose to Accies like we did at the start of last season, and suddenly the negativity can properly kick in. But to get a win in convincing style as well, 2-0 up before they went down to 10 men, it seemed like a big turning point.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it didn't feel that much at the time. I mean, you know, for us, the Hearts game's probably been our biggest disappointment, you know, even in terms of performance and the result, obviously. But that's probably the one game that we reflect back on and we think just never quite turned up, really. You know, never just quite got to where we want to get to, you know. And I know within it we maybe still had a couple of chances throughout the game, but, you know, that was probably the one performance we were really disappointed with this season. Hamilton, yeah, I thought we were comfortable there, to be honest. I know they scored straight after, you know, we went down to 10 men and then they kind of got back in here, but, you know, felt comfortable throughout that. And as you said, it's never the best place to go yet. It's a derby and we love, you know, looking up at the stand and seeing the Millwall fans fill that stand, and particularly when we win the game. But I never enjoyed going there as a player, and don't, you know, in terms of the pitch and the environment. But listen,
the locals,
aye, all 12 of them. But listen, it's you know, it's a derby for us, and we've got to go and win that game, as simple as that. But it was, yeah, as I said, that was kind of comfortable in the end. And then, as you say, yeah, since then we've felt as if we've kind of kicked on a little bit, but. You know, we felt as if we started the season really well, actually. You know, we really felt, I know you're saying that, you know, the disappointment of the Hearts game and the Celtic game, but we didn't feel as if that really knocked us off track, because in many ways, I say Saturday, the first half, we is probably as well as we've played. Actually, if you go back, the first half an hour against Celtic was probably, you know, right up there as well. Just unfortunately, as you say, the second half, some individual errors and, you know, the scoreline, it's not great, you know. But actually in the game in general, as I said, particularly that first half hour, 45 minutes, and, you know, hands up, I know a game of football doesn't last half an hour and 45 minutes, but what I mean by that is we don't really feel as if that result really knocked us off track, because we knew there were still some really good things within that. As I said, it's probably more the Hearts game that we're disappointed than that one. But as I said, we never really let it, you know, pushes off track, because we did know there was still some good things there, and from the Betfred kind of building up, and so we were still quite relaxed about that. And, you know, yeah, you go into an Accies game under pressure anyway, because we need to go and win. You know, it's up to us to go and win. You know, these games, the Lancashire derbies, and we know we're under pressure to do that anyway. So yeah, you feel the pressure from that that individual game, but you know, it didn't feel as if it was maybe as big a turning point as maybe the perception was.
Yeah, I kind of felt that we did cruise through the Betfred, and I think the expectation levels sometimes from supporters can become slightly unrealistic, but Hearts seem to be there for the taking, and then suddenly everything gets questioned, despite the fact that it was all singing, all dancing, all positivity a couple of weeks before, and that's just the nature of it. And again, I keep on harking back to the manager on Sports Out last week, but he mentioned he doesn't get carried away with wins in the same way he doesn't get carried away with losses, because it's a fickle game. It's week on week, things can change so drastically. Are you of the same mindset that don't let a defeat set you too far back? And by the same token, we're in a good run just now, let's not start booking holidays for the group stages of the Europa.
Albania or
or Montenegro
or the likes. No, not quite yet. But yeah, absolutely, 100%. I think, as I said to you, I mean, if we take the Celtic game in isolation, for instance, if we came away from that Celtic game and they beat us 5-2 and we never kicked a ball, then you're thinking, right, we never laid a finger on it, we never, you know. So these are the games that you come away and it's, of course it's about the result, but there's, it's about not being too low if you still see there is something there that's, you know, in the back, you know, the performance level is, there's still a lot of elements that you can take from it. And I think what the manager's saying there is, you know, it's really focusing on, you know, it's a results-driven business, 100%, but what we are trying to look for is progression in those performances. Individually, within the players themselves, we spoke a lot about, for instance, the forward players. There might be something that we can take in a defeat, but the position in the forward players was fantastic. And that's probably maybe something that only, like, coach, because things that we've been working on, or, you know, Liam Donnelly in that number six role, you know, Liam Polworth and Alan Campbell, maybe certain, you know, things that they're doing in their position. So from a coaching perspective, it's really, when you take away a defeat, it's about learning from the defeat, but it's, there may still be a lot of aspects within that defeat that we can actually get excited about, which sounds, you know, we want to win, end of story, but as I said, it's not getting too low that, oh, it's the end of the world, everything's rubbish, you know. And, you know, the flip side of that obviously is, like St Johnstone, for instance, you go there and win, oh, amazing, we're amazing. Well, no, we weren't quite happy with that, we weren't happy with that. And so it's that little bit of thing that it's probably the performance level that keeps you in the middle somewhere of looking for the things that you can improve and then looking at the things that are good, that you have done very well, and as I said, the stuff that you haven't done so well that you can get better at. So that's probably the thing that keeps you on the level. The results, yeah, emotionally, it's an emotional game. You do get up and down a little bit, but it's making sure that doesn't cloud what that constant is, and that constant is our improvement as a group, you know, both individually and collectively.
And I don't want to sound disrespectful towards the playing staff, but the market that you're shopping in and the players you're bringing in, they are going to have great weeks and they're going to have some not so good weeks as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's all part of their learning as well. It's how do they deal with disappointment? How does, guys that have not played a lot of football react to these stand, giving them a bit of stick if we're getting beat 5-2 off Celtic or we're getting beat, you know, and that's all part of learning. You know, process for these guys, particularly, as I said, the younger ones coming into that environment for the first time, or guys that have been used to maybe playing under 23 football and not played a lot of football. So that's all part of the learning curve, and it's good in both ways. How do they handle winning and not getting too high and reading their own press and giving themselves a pat on the back? And how do they, you know, as I said, maybe take a little bit of stick at the end of a game if you've been beaten? And that's alongside coaching the kind of fundamentals, if you like, that's what we are trying to help the players with as well. As I said, particularly these guys that have come in with a lack of experience, if you like, experience in both sides of that coin. So, as I said, hopefully, that's, you know, the more games and more matches will help that regard as well.
I mentioned the fickle nature of the game and the pressures in the game. This week's been a perfect example. You look at Jack Ross at Sunderland, losing his job after a shaky start to the season, but the outsider's perception is that he hasn't been doing a terrible job there. A lot of managers down south already beginning to lose their job, pressure on the likes of Craig Levein, Paul Heckingbottom, and Scotland. There's obviously a great deal of pressure on managers, but another side of it, Stephen Robinson will be mentioned, he's already been linked to the Hearts job. I'm sure clubs down south, I think Millwall, Barnsley and Sunderland all currently operating without managers. So you would expect Stephen to be linked with these roles?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think, I know first and foremost, I know he loves the job he's got here. I think he's really taken to the club. I think he knows what makes it tick. I think he's, he's heavily involved in terms of what's going on at the club with the Welsh Society, and knows the structure of it, knows the importance of that side of it. So I think he's immersed himself in the football club, and I think that's, he's got a real feeling, as I say, for it as a whole. You know, I think he's done a fantastic job. You know, as somebody that was a player, obviously working under him, and then, you know, that first, when he first took over, it was a difficult period in terms of just trying to stay in the division, and then having that, you know, it's kind of one job, if you like, and then that process of actually trying to put his stamp on things then going forward. So he's probably had, you know, a lot of highs and lows within the short period of his time he's been manager. But I think, as I said, in terms of his recruitment, in terms of implementing a style of play, in terms of just getting results and, you know, the cup finals that we mentioned, you know, I think he's ticked a lot of boxes. Certainly somebody that, you know, grateful, eternally grateful in terms of giving me a chance in this side of the game, you know, particularly this club, and somebody that I learn off of on a daily basis. You know, I think he's the guy that kind of, I'm talking a lot about the coaching and the kind of incessant nature of it, the relentlessness of what we want to try and drive at this football club in terms of that improvement every single day, for the players and for the staff as well. He's the guy at the head of that. He's the guy that drives that on a daily basis. And I think his enthusiasm is infectious. He's a fantastic coach. I think, you know, there's so many aspects to being a football manager these days in terms of the fickle nature, if you like, the instant nature of it. You've got to be able to handle that. You've got to be, in terms of the media side of it as well. So, you know, he's, as I said, he's done a fantastic job, and, you know, hopefully he's, you know, that's going to be the case for the foreseeable future.
And just finally, season three has begun for yourself. It doesn't seem that long ago. Maybe seems a lot longer for you ago that you were shutting your stuff out there, but... How you enjoyed it? You seem to be really thriving in the role.
Yeah, I love it. I've got to say, it's different. I think we spoke about it before. It's a different pressure. It's different. You know, it's just a different workload. It's different. You know, from being a football player, pretty much. You know, obviously, at the end, you're the kind of captain, and you've got certain responsibilities out with just your own job, but certainly coming in this side of it, you do feel a lot more responsibility for the thing as a whole. And I just, you know, I've got, you know, great people to work alongside, you know, obviously the manager, Maurice Ross, who's come in and been a really good influence on the coaching side of things. Craig Hinchcliffe, you know, fantastic goalkeeper coach, Andy Bowles, great strength and condition. Davey Henderson, in terms of the physio, hope I've not missed MD out. But I think just the staff as a collective are a really good unit. All, as I said, talk about the players improving, you know, the staff are hungry to improve as well and just get better. And I think that's the biggest thing for myself, is I'm hopefully better than I was the first day I took the job. That's in terms of evolved myself, you know, because you obviously come into the job with a lot of ideas, and but it's until you get into the job that you maybe start to, you know, evolve those ideas and you know, work out what's good, what's bad, and take the things on. So I'm learning. I'm you know, I'm really enjoying it. As I said, I'm lucky to have a great you know, manager and staff, you know, around the place as well, and just want to really, you know, push on and kick on and do as well as we can. As we spoke about, we've given ourselves a decent start, and you know, we're all hungry as a staff to just keep going, keep pushing, and we think we've got a group of players that we can push and improve, and that's an exciting thing for us. You know, that's the excitement you get as a coach, is, you know, you've got players that are listening, that are willing to improve, willing to put the work in to improve, and as a coach, I think that's all you can ask. So it's been good. As I say, there's been a few ups and downs, as we've spoken about, but on the whole, it's been fantastic, and you know, long may it continue.
Keith, thank you very much.
Cheers, Andy.
Can I take your order, please?
We shine as fire, electrify. Gonna make the time to see I'll be on my ready be. Take a step outside. Little piece of mind, gotta make the time to see I've been going crazy in the sun. In the sun. Do you satisfy? Does it cross your mind? Gotta take the time to see you'll be on my ready, won't you please me? Call the
gonna make the time to see you. Be waiting for a revolution. Superficial summer storm vacation. Well, I've been waiting for you in love. He satisfied, exemplified. Gonna make the time to see. I'll be on the ready, won't you? Take a step outside, little peace of mind.